Hey, what's up? It's Coach K. Do you feel like you have a solid plan in place to guarantee that pass symbol? There are so many students that I talk to that say that they hate reading and they feel lost with their study plan. If this sounds like you, click the link in the show notes to apply for our coaching program. We'll walk you through absolutely everything and help you walk into the MPTE knowing that you're going to pass. I'm Kyle Rice, awful test taker turned physical therapist and standardized test coach for over 5,000 physical therapists worldwide. It wasn't that long ago that I struggled with anxiety, lack of confidence, and the fear of failing the NPTE. Fast forward through the challenges, the 13 standardized test failures, and many lessons learned, and you'll see the life I have today, a life filled with love, financial freedom, and a dream job that allows me to change lives every single day. I created the NPTE Clinical Files podcast to give you simple, actionable strategies along with a step-by-step walkthrough of NPTE-based questions. All of this so that you can dominate your exam like I did and achieve your dream. So if you're a driven PT student who's looking to pass the NPTE and start creating a life you love, you're in the right place. Enjoy the show. For this week's clinical file, we have Eddie, and Eddie presents with a history of Parkinson's disease and is being seen in the inpatient hospital. The patient is ambulatory but requires close supervision by the therapist to prevent falls. Which of the following is the most appropriate focus for the physical therapist's plan of care? So we have A, wheelchair training, B, mobility training using bilateral axillary crutches, C, caregiver training for contact guarding during ambulation on level surfaces and stair negotiation, and D is manual perturbation training. All right, let's go up to the top of this one. Just want to say thank you for continuing to support this podcast for everybody who has left a review. I just want to say thank you, baby. I'm super excited every single week to drop questions like this, to work through them. You want to know why? Because I constantly am hearing that people are getting increased scores on their exams, going into the MPT with more confidence. And so today, I really wanted to break down this type of question because I really feel that there are some concepts that you need to go into the MPTE with, all right? And we're going to talk about those today. Let's break this question down. It says, Eddie presents with a history of Parkinson's disease and is being seen in the inpatient hospital. All right, pretty straightforward first sentence, not a lot of craziness here. They're just setting us up, right? Patient has Parkinson's disease, definitely something I would be familiar with for the NPTE. Now, as we go down the question, it says the patient is ambulatory, but requires close supervision by the therapist to prevent falls. All right, so we know that this patient is walking. All right, they are able to walk, but they require close supervision, likely because of a higher risk for falls, right? And so this is setting up the stage for what we may need to do as part of our plan of care. So keep this in mind. Patient is able to walk, however, requires this close supervision. All right. It says, which of the following is the most appropriate focus for the physical therapist's plan of care? What should we be focusing on? As we sum up this question, the patient has Parkinson's disease. I don't really care right now that they're in the inpatient hospital. I don't really feel that that's really going to help me right now. But I do see that this patient is ambulatory. They require close supervision by someone to make sure that they don't fall. So we know that they're unsteady on their feet. So as a physical therapist, what is my focus on my plan of care? That's really what the question's asking us for. Okay, so let's go down to the answer choices. A says wheelchair training. B says mobility training using bilateral axillary crutches. C is caregiver training for contact guarding during ambulation on level surfaces and stair negotiation. And D is manual perturbation training. All right, which one you got, baby? Go ahead, put it down for those of y'all with me. Put it down in the comment box for those of y'all in the car. Shout it out loud. All right, let's go to our first answer. It says wheelchair training. You know, as I'm looking at this answer, I'm like, okay, this makes sense a bit because I know the patient's at risk for falling. And so I know wheelchair training would be the safest option. The patient's not really going to be falling out of the wheelchair, right? Because they're not standing or anything. So the risk for falls is very low if I do wheelchair training. But here's the thing.
If a person is already ambulatory and they can ambulate safely as long as they have the right supervision and whatnot, should I put the person in a wheelchair and have them, you know, lose that ability to be walking? The answer to that is no. I want them to maintain being ambulatory as long as possible. I don't want to now put them in a wheelchair and then now they're not walking as much, because we know the best things for our patients is to stay more mobile, is to stay ambulatory, as long as they're safe though, all right? So I don't really like A. I think that it's taking away one of the big things that the patient is currently able to do, their function, which is to ambulate. I'm gonna go ahead and put an X next to that one for now. Let me look at B. B says mobility training using bilateral axillary crutches. I'm just envisioning this right now. My patient, Mr. Bill, with Parkinson's, and he has bilateral axillary crutches. To me, already this answer doesn't make a lot of sense. First of all, I haven't really seen this done before. I just don't think I will see this show up in the clinic in my first 6 months of practice, a patient with Parkinson's using bilateral axillary crutches. But overall, I'm just looking at this and I'm like, why? Why would a patient with Parkinson's be using bilateral axillary crutches? In this situation, there's no major use for it. I mean, you could use it, but do we need to go to this level? I would say no. I'd rather this person use something like a walker. I think that would be more functional for this type of patient rather than bilateral axillary crutches. Just looking at how Parkinson's presents, axillary crutches here doesn't make a lot of sense. I'm going to go ahead and put an X next to B. All right, let's continue down. C says caregiver training for contact guarding during ambulation on level surfaces and stair negotiation. All right. So as I'm looking at this one, I'm like, well, in the question, it does say the patient is ambulatory, but requires close supervision by the therapist to prevent falls. Could I train the patient's caregiver with safety instructions to use? Could I train them in contact guarding while the patient is ambulated to prevent falls? Absolutely, I can. Should I do that on level surfaces? Absolutely. Should I do that if the patient has stairs with stair negotiation? Absolutely. So all of this makes sense, because at the end of the day, I don't want Eddie in this question. I don't want Eddie to fall, right? I know that Eddie can ambulate and can do that with close supervision. So how about I train Eddie's caregiver to provide that stability to him when needed? So I really do like this answer here. Caregiver training for contact guarding during ambulation on level surfaces and stair negotiation. I like that. I'm going to hold on to the answer for now. Hold on. We're not done. We might have a better answer. Let's look at D. D says manual perturbation training. All right. I'm looking at this answer and a lot of people selected this one. Okay, for those of you who are not familiar with perturbation training can happen in a lot of different positions. It can happen in sitting. It can happen in quadruped. It can happen in standing. So a lot of different positions. And what we're really doing is typically asking the patient to stand or sit in one place, and we're pushing them in different directions, asking them to hold their balance. So we're providing these things called perturbations or this disruption of equilibrium. Okay. So here's the thing. Do I want to do that with this patient? Well, the patient has Parkinson's. We obviously know they have a fall risk. They have balance problems. Do I want to do manual perturbation training in order to help them with the ambulation, to help them to not fall with ambulation? I'm like, well, I mean, you could do this, but I would say in this state, I mean, you really wouldn't want to have the patient ambulating and then pushing them, you know, that's not very safe. So I don't really like that. But the other piece is when you have a patient with Parkinson's, they tend to have a symptom, a sign called rigidity, where they really lock up very tightly. And manual perturbation training is something that can increase rigidity in a patient with Parkinson's. So do I want to have this patient lock up on me, get very tight? No, if anything, when we're working with patients with Parkinson's, we're trying to relax them. We're trying to bring them out of rigidity. So I really feel like manual perturbation is going to send us in the wrong direction. It's going to create more rigidity. It's going to limit the person's normal movements and actually make ambulation worse. So manual perturbation training, I don't think it's the best to help with the current scenario right now of the patient is ambulatory, but is now requiring supervision to prevent falls. Manual perturbation training is not really going to help that. So I'm going to go ahead and put an X next to D. And that really leaves us with our final answer of C, caregiver training for contact guarding during ambulation on level surfaces and stair negotiation. Congratulations to those of you who got this one correct. This is a tougher question as well. You know, I put these questions on this podcast to challenge you at a high level. If you got this question wrong, let's take a look at why. Why do we get this wrong? Is it because we didn't understand the concepts? Is it because we got lost in what we should do for a patient with Parkinson's? I think in this scenario, you know, if you see this come up on the MPTE, one thing to know is, well, what is Parkinson's? What is things like rigidity? What is that, right? And then if a patient is presenting to us with the ability to ambulate, understanding that I want to maintain their ability to ambulate for as long as I can. But here's the key. We need to make sure that that ambulation is safe, though. Because if the patient's completely not safe and there's nothing we can really do to make them safe, then yeah, that's when I would put them into a wheelchair and, you know, that sort of thing, right? But I want to maintain their ambulation. So that's the reason why I don't really like wheelchair training as an answer choice. We talked about bilateral axillary crutches. Could you use that axillary crutches with a patient with Parkinson's? You could with the right, you know, indications. But here, there's no indication. There's no reason really why I would use bilateral axillary crutches. There's just so many other assistive devices that would be better for this patient, all right? And so I'm going to go ahead and eliminate bilateral axillary crutches. You know, we talked about manual perturbation training and how in a patient with Parkinson's, that'll cause them to lock up even more, become more rigid. We don't want that. We want the person to have normal movements, right? We want to help them reduce their level of rigidity. So manual perturbation training is not really going to be a major focus of our plan of care. Leaving us with, again, our final answer of training the caregiver to give them that support that they need when they need it and help them out on things like level surfaces and stair negotiation. Again, congratulations to those of you who got this one correct. If you are someone who struggles with questions like this, not just Parkinson's, but in general, you get down to the final two answers and you're like, I don't know which one to pick. Listen, this is something that we help students with out on a day-to-day, week-to-week basis, all right? How can you get help? How can you learn how to dissect these questions better? So what I want you to do, go to www.npteGroup.com. That's our free private Facebook group. We're in there every single week, dropping fire, giving tips and tricks on how people can dominate the NPTE. All right. So if you got the NPTE coming up, go to www.npteGroup.com and we'll get you in there. All right. And if you haven't gotten our free cheat sheets, we got 10 musculoskeletal ones that are still out there for you. You can grab them by going to www.npteCheatSheets.com. All right. So whether you're on iTunes, Spotify, Ghana, Overbreak, wherever you're at in podcast land, go into the show notes, click the link in there, and you can get it. Hi, this is Kyle, and thanks for downloading the podcast. I always enjoy spending this time with you, and I hope that you leave today feeling motivated and with a better understanding. Make sure to subscribe to get new mock NPTE questions each week. I deeply appreciate your support. It helps keep this mission going. And as I always say, keep learning, stay committed. I'll see you next time.